Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
It's been a difficult week, Sarah Gon, has it not?
Yet another one.
yet another one. Yeah, but it's not every day that police shoot protesters 2 kilometers down the road.
That is true, and yet it's a familiar idea, isn't it? I mean,
Well, we're going to talk about that, and you're going to make the interesting argument that it's a legacy of Jacob Zuma. Unpack that for me. Why are you making that assertion? Okay.
Well, it's not actually it's not entirely about that, but let me put it this way: the IR has launched a campaign. Hashtag stop citizen abuse. And basically we highlighting a whole lot of issues that are an abuse of us, whether it's tax, whether it's not getting services, etc. And I thought of a cycle of abuse that is very much playing out, including what you've mentioned, and I put it this way. Jacob Zuma, in a vengeful act, just as he leaves office, he proclaims that from now on, students' tertiary education will be paid for. And he ignored a commission of inquiry that he had set up to look into this issue, because we know that there are a lot of problems. And one of the problems is that there's no way we could afford to pay for all tertiary education. So he throws this grenade into the ANC who has to deal with it. And suddenly we've reached a point where there isn't the money to pay for it.
Yeah.
NSFAS ends up in trouble, the student funds entity that is the government's. And what happens is universities are excluding the registration of students who owe a lot of money. And students protest, and this we have seen a lot before. And the students blockade and barricade areas of Bromfontein off, which means, of course, that the right of people to get to work or to carry on their normal lives is interrupted. So there's a cost to that. But be that as it may, and the police go in because there's student protest. So we don't know the facts. I don't know the facts of whether the students were peaceful or not, whether the police were warranted or not. And then the police opened fire with rubber bullets. Now we don't know whether that was justified, and a poor bystander gets killed as a result. And the chances are, unfortunately, because of the place the police are in and what we've become used to, it may very well have amounted to culpable homicide, which means that it's very likely that the family of the deceased will have a claim against the police, a compensatory claim, which we as citizens will have to pay because the police have not been adequately trained. They're overstretched. The methods they use for crowd control are out of date, et cetera, et cetera. And then we've got the police minister from hell to boot. So we're all paying for this over and over again. And so what it shows is that the venality of Zuma at the outset 3 years ago ends up costing us constantly, constantly, constantly until we come to the point where we can't afford to pay. Expectations have risen and we're in conflict again, and we are footing the bill one way or the other.
This is a serious issue. It's a majorly important issue, but almost as important in my mind, and Zuma clearly is the gift that keeps on giving, is the fact that he's plunging us into a sort of semi-constitutional crisis with his absolute refusal to pitch to testify.
Well, in fact, my original thought on that had been the fact that the NEC of the ANC, you know, sat in a meeting, in a virtual meeting, apparently for hours, while Zuma regaled them of how unfairly he's been treated, and you know, people are against him, and the state is against him, and that's when I thought of the cycle of abuse, and I thought, you know, we really don't deserve to be treated in this way. Zuma himself is not alone to blame, but he in this particular cycle, he kicked it off, and it seems that there is no end to what we should be getting from the ruling party, but are not. We're being sort of kicked in the teeth, either financially or in a whole range of other ways.
Do you think Cyril Ramaphosa feels that he just does not have the his faction is not sufficiently strong for him to make decisive moves in respect of Zuma, or is he just a man with whom compromise is such an integral part of his being that this is who he is?
I go with the latter, and again with the statement he made some months ago about being he wants to be known for the he'd rather be known as the president who kept the ANC unified than ran the country. And I mean that just beggars.
But that's a hell of a contradiction because then his loyalty is to his party and not the constitution and the country. And
absolutely. And the bottom line is theoretically, because we're not seeing it in reality, is that if you take up the position of president and if you go into the legislature, your allegiance becomes then the country first and has to be this party second. And the ANC worthies have essentially said that's not the case for them. And we are having to deal with the fallout of that.
Saragon, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. As always, thank you for your input. And I look forward to you talking about something interesting and controversial next week again.
Pleasure.